Let's turn in the Word of God to the book of Revelation. As we continue reading through the Scriptures, Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21, we'll be reading verses 1 through 27. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 27, and beginning in verse 1, these are the words of the Lord, and they are precious, and ought to be precious in our sight. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. Then he measured its wall 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth, topaz, the tenth, chrysoprase, the 11th, jacinth, and the 12th, amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it, but there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. And those are God's words. One commentator, now near the close of this book, the last book of Scripture, he says, "Hitherto the prophecy of this book has presented to us a very remarkable mixture of light and shade, prosperity and adversity, mercy and judgment, and the conduct of divine providence towards the church in the world. Now at the close of all, the day breaks and the shadows flee away. A new world now appears, the former having passed away." So here we're told of the new Jerusalem where we can look forward to, and what we can look forward to for all eternity, dwelling with the Lord, where there's no more crying or no more tears or pain. If you desire comfort and hope, then you are to come to this God in Christ Jesus. Verse 6, he offers freely to you himself as the water of life. To come to the foundation and drink deeply of him, lest you perish. Verse 8. And through the end of the chapter, John sees the vision of the New Jerusalem. And just as at the beginning of creation, in which God had created light, yet there was no sun yet created, or the moon, so here, verse 23, the light of the glory of God in Christ the Lamb is its light. And in this light, all God's children will walk. That's the promise. If you are his child, then you will be there. And you will walk in his light. All who hear, you are to come unto the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, and walk worthy. Come to the water of life. Come to him freely and be saved from your sins' punishments. Come to Christ. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful today that we can gather together, and we're thankful that you even have brought visitors amongst us this evening, and you did this morning. Father, we're thankful for who you are. Not only that you're the God of love, but the God who is true. And so there's no lying, no lies in the New Jerusalem, because you're the God of truth. And your truth, in your word, we find pure wisdom, pure knowledge, perfect truth. And you are the God who is holy, the God who is set apart from all other things, because everything else is creation. Father, you are the God who is just, brings about righteousness. And we're thankful for this. You're the God of judgments and plagues, as we listened and heard this morning. And Father, we ask that you would make us, as we continue to think upon this, that you would make us a people who are repentant. That we would, this week and this day, to examine ourselves and to see our particular sins, that we might repent particularly. You would make us a holy people. For we are holy in the sight of the Lord, yes. And yet we have remaining sin. And like Paul, who desires to do good but does not do it, doesn't want to do evil, yet keeps walking in it, Father, we ask that you would help us. We ask that you would give us your sanctifying grace, even by your Holy Spirit in the Word, and cleanse us of our remaining sin. If there are any here who don't know you, we ask that you would turn them unto yourself in Christ, that Christ alone is the way, that He alone is the light of the world, and He is the water of life in which, if you drink of Him, you will never thirst. Father, we're thankful for these promises. We pray that we would believe them and trust them for our very life. Father, we plead for You that You would deliver us, deliver the church, deliver Your people, deliver the world from the virus, the plague that You send. But not so things can go back to normal, but so that You would turn us from our sins and have us to worship You rightly and faithfully, serve You in all our days and all the according to all the commandments that You have given to us, to make us holy as You are holy. Save us unto a sanctified life from these things. Help us. Our trust is in You. We know that You have sent this. It is not from anywhere else or any other thing. It is only from China or Europe or wherever it's from. Even our own nation, it is ultimately from You. And we praise You for this. We give You thanks for it. And yet our hearts weep with sadness and sorrow that so many are dying. We are struggling to look at ourselves instead of looking at the world and trusting in the world. We're struggling to look at ourselves to see our sin. We're struggling to look to You, the God who sends it, the God who loves us and so sends it to discipline Your people. And we pray that we would be trained by it and turn from it so that there would come about the peaceful fruit of righteousness in our lives and in the church. As we'll hear this evening, Father, we ask that You would reform us. We are, as a church, generally speaking, we are unfaithful to Your commandments. Make us to be a faithful people to all of Your commandments, every jot and tittle, because we desire to be like Your Son, to be holy and righteous. Lord, we ask that You would spare us. And You would call back Your church to worship You. You would call the church to love You and not shut up the doors like Ahaz did in shutting up the temple. And may we open the doors so that those people out in the world and us in the church who are struggling to find hope and comfort, that we would be able to minister as weak instruments the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is our only hope and comfort. The gospel is to be preached more today, needed more today than ever before, because so many are questioning and thinking through these things, even death. But there is no hope in death unless we come to Christ, Your Son. Unless You send Your Spirit and change our hearts and bring us unto You through Your Son. Father, help us. We are helpless. We are weak. We are often in sin. So often in sin that we probably look like a dung heap. But Father, cleanse us by the blood of Your Son and by Your Holy Spirit through the Word. Show mercy to Your people and call not only the church to repentance, but this nation, which acts much like the atheist or the deist in trying to solve the problem. The problem is our sin. The problem is ourselves and our immoralities and our shaking our fists at You and laughing and mocking you, when all along you sit in the heavens, and your Son is on the throne, and all nations must bow to Him and Him alone. And so save even our governing rulers, that you would cause them to rule according to your word, that they would bow the knee to Christ alone. And so save this nation. Well, that's our prayer. But that has to begin here in the church. We know from the scriptures that begins here. Even as we've learned in Chronicles. And so reform our worship and cause the church to be a repentant church, that the bride would come back to her husband and commune with him alone. This is our prayer. We ask that you would hear it for Christ's sake. Amen.